just wanted to mention that. Amen. And what was going on, that was really cool. So you know we're already on part 6 in the life of King David. I hope you've enjoyed some of it. I really have. It's been awesome. Just a reminder, part 1 was Saul, man's choice. David, God's choice. I thought that was an awesome message. Just because of the Word of God. Part 2 is David defeats Goliath. Israel was focused on the natural. David was seeing the supernatural. Amen. Part 3, Jonathan was an encourager to David. I'd mentioned that if we need anything in the Church of Jesus Christ today, we need encouragers. Amen. We need encouragers. And we talked about how this church was based and built upon the foundation of encouragement. And to continue to encourage one another, even so more as what we face today, we've got to have an attitude of encourage each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Part 4, King David divinely protected and even hearing and doing the will of God, even during trouble, even during his struggles, he didn't give up. He was still listening for the voice of God and still whipping the enemy, even as Saul was chasing him. What a miraculous thing. Talking about how even during our struggles, we still move forward in the things of God. If we're waiting for when we don't have any troubles or for everything to become perfect in our life to move forward in God, that day will never arrive. The saints learning through adversity to do the will of God, through adversity walking in his anointing in this world. Amen? Do you agree with that? Amen. Last week we talked about Jesus, the Rock of David. How prophetically he was talking about Jesus. How Jesus, and talked about Isaiah 40, David said, "And upon this rock he brought me up out of my clay and set my foot upon a rock. He set me my foot upon a sure foundation." Then he goes on to say, he says, "Lord, you've opened my eyes and my ears. You don't desire sacrifice of bulls and goats. Man, I'm seeing that you want my heart. I'm seeing the future of what new covenant was going to look like." And David had that revealed to him. He was a man that actually kind of in a way walked in new covenant. Even after his many mistakes and things that he'd done that we'll talk about in the coming weeks, David kind of had an understanding of God's heart. Isn't that amazing? And in part 6 today, we want to talk about covenant. We want to talk about covenant. Can seem like, especially to young people, like an old-fashioned word or maybe even a word they're not familiar with, covenant. We wouldn't want to talk about covenant today. I want to talk about part 6, the covenant God made with David. The covenant God made with David. And so, John, do you have that flag? Were you able to find that, brother? John, who's been filling in for Bill Boyd, I'm just so glad that he's been able to do that. Thank you, John. So this is the flag of, yeah, let's give him a hand. Thank you, Johnny. He's the man. So what is this anyway? Is that the flag of Israel, though? And what's in the middle? The Star of David. Isn't that interesting? The Star of David. And I wish I had time. I should have done more history. Maybe some of you know more about it. But I can tell you that For Israel, who wasn't a country for centuries, amen, and then become a country again, and they choose the Star of David. And I think it's God who did it. I think it's prophetic, but I also think it's not even for the reason they think. See, they're still waiting for a Messiah to come and establish Israel as a power or a country, you know, here in the world. But we're going to talk about today that as God made some promises to David, it goes so much further than that. So much further than that. It's not talking about just Israel, although Israel's precious in God's sight. God is doing, needs to do a work in Israel, will do a work in Israel. There will be revival, even as Paul said, the full number of the full number of the Gentiles shall be saved, and then Israel would be saved, amen, in the book of Romans. But this Star of David, in God's eyes, means so much more than just a kingdom or a country here on earth. Now, let's talk about a few covenants that we're aware of in the Bible already. The covenant of Noah, Genesis 9:11-13. The covenant not to flood the earth. It says, 11, I establish my covenant with you. He's talking to Noah, and all flesh shall never again be eliminated by the waters of a flood. Nor shall there be a flood to destroy the earth, God said. This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall serve as a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. So God made a covenant with mankind, but with the earth, saying, I will never flood the earth and destroy it again. Amen? Don't you love a rainbow? There's never a pot of gold on the end. I've known people that went and looked. It wasn't there. That's funny, but it's still a promise. Amen? It's a promise of God saying, hey, I'll never destroy the earth like I did in the days of Noah. Amen? A covenant, a promise. The Word of God says that God is not a man that he should lie, whether it be on accidental, on purpose, or change his mind. God never changes his mind when he has a covenant. Did you know that? When he walks in covenant, when we talk, he never changes his mind. So we know about the covenant of Noah. How about the covenant, one that we've talked about before, but just touching on it briefly again, how about the covenant with Abraham? Genesis 7, 3 through 5 says, Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant was with you. God saying that to Abraham. And you will be the father of a multitude of nations. Hallelujah. Not just Israel, amen? He said a multitude of nations. Verse 5, no longer shall you be named Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. So we see that covenant with Abraham who led to where we are today. If you read the book of Galatians, that you and I are children of Abraham. Right? You know that song in Sunday school, Father Abraham had many sons. I've mentioned that before. And many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them and so are you. Amen? The covenant that we're walking in today through Jesus Christ, but the covenant being part of many nations. Amen? Aren't you glad to be a child of Abraham? Amen. So am I. And then there was the Mosaic covenant. Deuteronomy through Moses. Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28 says, see, I am placing before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, and the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today by following other gods which you have not known. So you see this covenant of blessing and cursing. And the problem is with Israel, they could never truly follow all of his commandments. And even the understanding that Paul did, the apostle of grace, as he talks about it in Romans 7, saying, hey, as soon as that law came into existence, it actually released the power of sin in my life. It's amazing the revelation that he understood about the Mosaic law and what it could accomplish and what it could not accomplish. What it could accomplish was that you could never be right with God in your own strength. That's what it could accomplish. And what it also accomplished is that since I cannot do it all in my strength, what do I do now? Where do I go now? That was a covenant that God had with Moses and the people of Israel. And even as God began to speak through Moses and through others after Moses, he kept saying, hey, I want them to walk my covenant. I want them to follow the law, but they never will be able to. They can't do it. Their hearts are always bent towards evil. And that's the way the world is today, regardless when you walk in the law or try to do things on your own. You're never going to quite measure up. As Paul says, my righteousness is as filthy rags. But yet there still was this covenant that God had. Joshua, as God spoke to Joshua, and he said, hey, I want you to lead these people in. He said, be sure to do all that the book of the law says. And when you read that, he turns around and God says, they're not going to do it. Already knowing they couldn't do it. A covenant. I hope it's not a covenant you and I would ever live under today, trying to prove ourselves. You know, you think of the covenant of marriage, amen, being married. But if you enter into a covenant, it's not based upon love, and it's just based upon if you can do this or can do that, how long will that covenant last? How long will you be able to perform in that? And the truth of the matter is, in this covenant of the Old Testament, it was never to get Israel or anybody to say, hey, you've got to do everything I say perfectly. What it was about is, hey, you can't do it on your own. You cannot do your part for a covenant and the requirements that I have. You think in heaven, everything is perfect in heaven, right? There's no sin. There's no sickness. There's no death. There's no discord. But the covenant here with Moses was trying to bring heaven and on earth here through man's efforts, and it could not be done. Is there a reason for that? Yeah, there's definitely a reason for that. We'll talk about that a little bit, but that was the covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Did you know that God had a covenant with David too? And when you read it, it's amazing. It's amazing as you read through the Old Testament, you see Christ woven in everywhere. He's the fabric. We know he's the chief cornerstone, amen? But when you read even the Old Testament, as you see all Jesus through there, the Messiah, woven through that for what's been revealed today. I love this. It was amazing as I began to read this. I hadn't read this before. I realized today, said, Lord, you made a covenant with David that us today are benefiting from. 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16, in the New American Standard, it says, so God is talking to David. He's making a covenant with David. He was speaking through the prophet Nathan, who was a prophet during the time of King David. He was speaking through him to David. It says, when your days are finished, David, and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come from you, and I will establish his kingdom. 13, he will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Could that have been his son Solomon? Was his kingdom established forever? No. His kingdoms, even the temple that Solomon built, is it with us today? No, it's not. But he says, verse 13 again, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. You know, the last king in the Judah Empire in antiquity was Zedekiah, last king of Judah in 586 B.C., before Jesus was born. That was the last king. And the Babylonians came and surrounded Jerusalem and then destroyed it. Carried off those, like Jeremiah, end up going down to Egypt. They think we had Daniel that end up going up to Babylon. The last king, up to this day, the last king that Israel had was Zedekiah in 586 B.C. Isn't that amazing? Never been another king. But then God says your kingdom will be established forever. I mean, that Star of David, they're hoping that, Lord, you said you would establish your kingdom forever. They're looking still at some of these prophecies saying, God, when? When will you restore Israel? They're there supernaturally as a country, but they're saying, when will we be victorious over all of our enemies? When will we be legitimized in the world finally? And so they look to hope to the Star of David. And then he continues on in verse 14 of 2 Samuel 7. Verse 14, if you have that, John. Second Samuel 7, 12 through 16, but we're right after Zedekiah, verse 14. I'm just going to read it. It says, so he says, hey, I will establish your throne forever. And then it says, I will be a father to him. 2 Samuel 7, chapter 7, verse 14. And I will be a father to him. So he's talking about this, his son establishing his kingdom forever. He says, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. Now this is God talking to who? David. When he does wrong, I will discipline him with a rod of men, and with strokes of sons of mankind. Was Jesus hit with rods, by the way? Was he hit with strokes of a whip? Whom I approved from you. So let me read 14. Let me read that again. Verse 14. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me when he does wrong. I will discipline him with a rod of men and with strokes of sons of mankind. But my favor shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from you. Verse 16, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. And let me just say this, because it would seem like, say, what are you talking about? Because it says there, when he does wrong, that he'll get a rod from men and strokes from the son of men, from other people. Well, let me just say this, is because of Isaiah 53, verse 6. Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the wrongdoing of us to fall on him. So it's talking about here, right here in the Old Testament, saying, I'm going to treat Jesus as if you were standing in his place. He's going to take on the wrath as if you were there paying for your own sin. So Jesus taking on the wrath of sin, of God's wrath against sin and the sin of mankind on his body. To the people around them, they thought, I thought God was with him. I thought God, this was the one Messiah that was going to come. I thought this was the one who was going to fill the promises to David. As we read this right here, you can see that. So I'm going to put those whips to your back. I'm going to discipline you, Jesus, as if those other people were standing in your place, as if you had done something wrong, as if you were the one who had done all that sin. Jesus, who knew no sin, taking the wrath of sin, the wrath of God against it upon his body, as if Jesus was the one that was sinning. And as we read right here, it says, I'm going to discipline him and bring him back to me. And he's talking about every one of us, as the promise of David right here talks about what God would suffer for us, for you and I, to restore you and me to him. Discipline him with a rod of men and with strokes, the whipping that he took on his back. Jesus, or God, prophesying what the Son of David would do for you and I 1,000 years before Jesus ever came on the scene. See, this covenant he made with David to have somebody to be a king and his heir forever never could have been naturally or through a man. It had to be through somebody that could live eternally, who came from eternity and would establish his covenant for eternity. Amen. As Israel still looks at the Star of David. Do we still have any other scriptures, John? Brother? Okay. You might have to reboot that and start over. If you think about Israel, who's looking at the Star of David and what they're still looking at, not realizing that after the covenant that God made with mankind or with Israel actually had to do with Jesus and the covenant that he was making with all of us. You will never not have somebody in your kingdom who would be on your throne for eternity. As I'd mentioned, it's been 2,700 years since there's been a king who's been on a throne in actual Israel, in Judah. But yet this prophesying right here in this covenant that he will always have a king on that throne. I'm telling you here today that that is the case. That covenant that he made with David is in existence today. Oh, that how the people in the Middle East or Israel would, as they see this, that they, when we see the Star of David, will actually realize that it points to Jesus. Amen. That's pointing to the cross of Jesus Christ. Taking those whips on us. The seed of David. Ezekiel 37, 23 through 24 says, they will no longer defile themselves. He's talking about what this seed, what this benefits to you and I. Ezekiel 37, 23 and 24 says, they will no longer defile themselves with their idols or with their detestable things or with any of their offenses, but I will rescue them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned and will cleanse them. And they will be my people, and I will be their God. And then verse 24 says, and my servant David will be king over them. So this is well after David. And my servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and follow them. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 37 and 23 and 24. 24, you can say it this way. And my servant Jesus will be king over them. That's what it's saying. And they will all have one shepherd. Amen? And they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and follow them. As the Lord talking about King David. About Jesus actually through David. Galatians 3, 21 through 23. So this covenant of the law. Can we live under that covenant? I just want to go back there real quick. Can you live under that covenant of the law? Galatians 21 and 23 says, is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Far from it. For if a law had been given that was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. You hear that? That old covenant laws? Then righteousness would have indeed have been based on law. But verse 22, but the scripture has confined everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Did you hear that, what the law does? It confines everybody under sin. Who is that? Everybody, you and I. You know, you think of the law and when it was given and all the years that the law was in effect, and Israel never could measure up. They never could keep their hearts from wandering to even serve other gods. Forget just trying to follow the law. They couldn't even keep their hearts from wandering from trying to follow in the gods around them. So what does it say here? That the law made sure that it put us all under sin. It's amazing. It's amazing how people will try to follow the law and preach the law and say, if you can follow this, if you can do this, then you can show God that you really love him, that you really serve in him, that you're really growing in him. You know, any time you put a list of laws and say, measure yourself by this, you're destined to failure. Romans 7 says, where Paul says, hey, I didn't even know about coveting until I read the law, do not covet. And then all kinds of covetousness started coming forward from me. So the law locked everybody up under sin. It actually, the law, this covenant that God made with Israel and expanded to other people was to make sure that people would know this, you can't do it on your own. You'll never measure up. You can't read a group of scriptures pertaining to your life and say, if I follow this, I'll be pleasing to the Lord. Anytime somebody puts a list up and says, hey, learn these and follow these, you're destined for failure, or you're destined to walk in pride. You're destined to walk in the strength of your flesh. So when this covenant came forth, it just revealed that no man can perform it. Ezekiel 37, Galatians 31, 21 through 23. So what about this covenant now? Where are we at now? This covenant David met, where did it end up heading to? What does the covenant mean for you and I today? Stick with me, don't lose me. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Sorry for the glitch. Electronics, I'm sorry about that. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Now may the God of peace, amen, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep. Who is that? Through the blood of the eternal covenant. Do you hear that? The eternal covenant. That is Jesus our Lord. Equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. That which is pleasing in his sight. So working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know that covenant that God made with David was pointed and directed and a bullseye for you and I today. Did you know that when he made that covenant with him, that he was thinking of you and I? You know, when God made the covenant with with Israel, the Mosaic covenant, he was not thinking of you and I as far as eternal purposes. It says that locked people up under sin. That was given to for you and I to realize that there's no way to measure up. There's no way to walk in his path. There's no way to walk in his strength on our own. If you think about that, the eternal covenant of Jesus Christ. What is a covenant anyway? You know, it's an agreement. Usually formal, a contract between two or more persons to do or not to do something specified. So this covenant that we're having now, that God made with us through Jesus Christ, what a powerful covenant, because to be honest, did we do to initiate it? What did we do to set it in place? Just think about that as we talk about. What did you do if you walk with Jesus Christ as we begin to talk about covenant? What did you do to be a part of that covenant? Was it through your obedience? We already talked about the Mosaic covenant. You can't walk in obedience. Paul says that it just locked me under sin. He says in Romans 7, he says, I didn't know about the power of sin until I saw the list of do's and don'ts. Then I was locked underneath it. It released the power of sin in my life. To think about it, that you and I today are walking in covenant. Did you know that? Let me ask you, what covenant are you walking in? What does covenant mean to you? Amen, I heard grace. An agreement, usually formal. Boy, it was formal. It was written in blood. I said it was written in blood. It's the most serious covenant God has ever made with man. See, we know the covenant with Noah that he will never flood the earth again, but it did nothing with the power of sin over people's lives. Amen? We know the covenant that he made with the Mosaic covenant again, but what did it do with the power of sin over somebody's life? Nothing. And so this new covenant that he made with us, that he talked about the eternal covenant, broke the power of sin over in yours and my life. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 9. And I have this in the Passion Translation, because sometimes we'll read a scripture in King James or New American Standard, something that we're familiar with as far as a translation, and we can just kind of gloss over it. You ever done that? You've read it, you've memorized it, you've read it 1,000 times. And I think sometimes putting a little different translation makes us stop and think. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved by..." Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation. "For it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast. For salvation is never a reward." Listen, "for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving." If you go on to the next verse, it will go on to say that you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he created for you to do before the foundation of the earth. That's a different subject today, but that means that God has given things in you by the Holy Spirit that he has for you, that you walk into it. Different than me. Yours is different than what I would walk in as far as his grace in our lives. But the first thing is understanding that nothing you can do can earn his love, his salvation in this covenant. You think about this covenant, what we had to do with this, what we had to do for this covenant. Our part was what? Believing. I'm telling you, the hardest thing sometimes for people, depending on how they're raised in religion, to believe this, that simply believing in the blood covenant that Jesus established brings salvation. That my sins are washed away by simply believing this. Do you believe that this morning? That this covenant that we're going to talk about a little bit more, this covenant that he established with us, that he took the covenant, the Old Testament covenant, he fulfilled it, and it was says that it was fading away, and that he established this new covenant of grace. During the time of Paul, even the Jews and many of the people there couldn't understand it. They thought he was preaching blasphemy. It's the reason why many of the Jews during that time wanted to kill Paul, because of this, what he was preaching, this covenant of grace. as he began to declare it, they said, no way, that is impossible. I remember as God began to work in my life, I thought, this is too good to be true. There's no way that you can tell me that everything I need in Christ is simply by believing, simply by trusting. It's too good to be true. All that God has for me. No, you've got to give me a list of things I got to do. I'm telling you, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll start doing that list of things that you're talking about because it says he puts his spirit on the inside of us and says, I would write my law within your heart. I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. You have the fruit of the Spirit in your life and you'll do those things because of my nature that I have in you. His nature in you. When his nature is in you, then you start doing the things that your father does. Naturally. It'll be a part of you. It'll be who you are. It'll be your DNA. Is it perfect? No, because it says that we're to die to the flesh. There's things that we've got to die to. Just say, I'm not going that way. That's not who I am anymore. I don't have to listen to the voice of the flesh. His spirit lives in me. He strengthened me. And there's no temptation that can come over, that can come on me, that can overdrive what I want to do. It can't control me. I can say, no, I'm not going that direction anymore. No, I'm following him in this direction. No, this is bringing misery in my life, so I'm going to go a different direction. Do you love him today? You know, you think of covenant. What's a covenant? The New Testament, the new covenant that we walk in of grace. What are the benefits, or what are some of the key words in the scripture that we would hear now that would say, hey, these are the benefits of this covenant? You think somebody who might be a benefactor of a trust, they may have a right to make a withdrawal from that trust every year, every month, every 6 months. But if they don't know about it, well, they'll never make a draw. They'll never access it. They'll never live within the legal rights of it because they're not aware of it. You and I don't want to be a person, an individual who doesn't understand the benefits of this covenant I'm in. I don't want to be an individual who's hazy about, or in my walk with God, not walking in confidence because I don't understand this covenant. Or one who says, you're not quite right with God, or you haven't quite earned some of these benefits. Now, I understand growing in maturity. But if you know what, if there's benefits that God started talking to you and I about from the time that he said to Paul or to David saying, hey, there's going to be a king who's going to sit on your throne forever, and I'm going to discipline him with many blows and with rods, which was talking about Jesus standing up for you and taking our sin. And so this kingdom of David stands forever. Do you know that? This kingdom of David is not coming. It's already established. This kingdom of David is not something that's going to come in the future, near or far. It's here in the now. It's been here for 2,000 years. And the benefits of this covenant that God made with David. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22 says, the benefits are called promises. So when you think of the new covenant we're walking in, you're saying, what are the rights? What did God give to me as his child? What benefits do I have of this covenant now? Well, what we'll be looking for in the Bible is we'd be looking for those promises. See, those promises are for you and I as children of Abraham, as joint heirs with Christ, as us who are serving the King of Kings who sits on that throne of David forever and ever and ever. See, they don't belong to the world. See, don't misinterpret when you see people being successful that they're benefiting from many of the benefits that you and I have. See, those are temporary without Jesus Christ. They have them here on the earth, but there's nothing else to look forward to. There's no benefits here, and then benefits in the what we call the sweet by and by, amen, and to eternity. So don't get those mixed up. People that are going to walk in this covenant are only those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's many people who appear who seem to have everything but peace. Everything in their lives but joy. Everything but true purpose. That's not covenant. That's just things. Anybody, if they put their heart and mind to it, can accumulate things. There's people that step over everybody, will do, lie, steal, whatever, everything they can to accumulate things. It's actually putting themselves up as a king in their own heart. I sit on the throne of my heart. I do as I please. In the book of Proverbs, it says, those who imagine that their wealth is an unscalable wall, nobody can get through it over it. I can do what I want. But everything they have is temporal and here on the earth only. That's not talking about the covenant that you and I share in. Aren't you glad that you're in covenant with him? If you know him this morning, let me tell you, it's a covenant of a relationship. It's not just it's not a document where you read it and said, okay, I get to pull this much money out every month, or I get the rights of this. But it's a covenant that starts with a relationship. So what are some of the benefits that God wants us to live in and share with others? 2 Corinthians 1:20 through 22, it says, for as many as the promises of God are, is there many promises? For as many as the promises of God are, in him they are what? Yes. Therefore, through him also is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us in God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. We've been sealed with what? His Holy Spirit. If you're born again, if you have his Spirit, you have that sealed in your heart. That's what God has deposited in you. Number one, he's given you his Holy Spirit. So what are the benefits of knowing God or being born again? Number one is we have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Comforter. Remember when Jesus says, I've got to go. I've got to get out of here. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised from the dead, and I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go to be at the right hand of my Father, but don't fear. Don't be sad, because I'm going to leave with you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So the first thing in our covenant with him is we have the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit is what leads and guides us? He's the one who wants to give us the peace through our struggles. He's the one in our dealings from day to day, work, life, business, relationships. He's the one that wants to lead us into all truth. Did you know that? Did you know in this covenant, the first thing is you're sealed with the Holy Spirit? I wonder sometimes, I have to ask myself as I grow in him, Lord, I don't want to cap myself in what you can do through me. I don't want to cap that in this new covenant. In my mind, saying, oh, no, I've got the Holy Spirit. Once in a while, I'm going to give a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, or I'm going to get in front of some people and talk. But you know what? With the Holy Spirit in us, much can be accomplished. Much more than you realize or I realize, because what we realize would be what our limitations are. Right? In the natural realm, the thinking is this: I can accomplish what I'm comfortable with. In the supernatural, with his Holy Spirit, God is saying, I can do so much more through you and with you and for you, because you walk in covenant with me. The covenant of his blood. Much more by saying, Lord, I believe this. Much more will be accomplished than much fret, much worry, much strain. By simply believing as we're reading the Word of God, saying, Lord, show me Jesus. Reveal yourself to me. Show me your goodness. Lord, show me the goodness of God as I'm reading these scriptures. Lord, let the filters of religion come off. Let things of the past that I'm not even aware of that hold me back, let those things fall away. And Father, may your grace and the mercy and what you have for me through the covenant be revealed in me. Let them come out. Father, we thank you for that covenant this morning. Thank you that you walk in covenant with us. As I begin to read about King David, and God says, I'm making a covenant with you. But it's not about you having somebody sitting on a throne forever that you can say, that's my descendant. I'm talking about Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne forever. I'm not talking about you, David, just so you can say, hey, my kingdom stands forever. forever. No, I'm talking about the Christ is going to sit on that throne forever. I'm just saying that through your descendants, he who will save all souls, if they will believe in me, will say it will be on that throne forever. The Son of David right now sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Amen. Thank you, Father. Number two, the fruit of the Spirit in this covenant. We have access to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, does fruit just, do you have to, are you going to have to work hard to make this fruit come about? No, just you're allowing your soul to be watered by the Holy Spirit as this fruit will begin to grow in you. What is the fruit of the Spirit? That's in Galatians. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. And then it says, against such there is no law. Against such there's no law. No law of mankind that says you can't be kind. No law in the Torah that says you can't be kind. The second thing in this covenant that you and I have access to is the fruit of the Spirit. That was perfect for leading into my third point. The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, third one in this, I'm telling you, in this covenant is provision of wealth. When I say wealth, meaning if I only have a dollar in my wallet, which I don't even have a dollar. But if I had a dollar in my pocket, in my wallet, I could. That's all you have. That's your wealth. You start out with, in this covenant, saying, Lord, thank you for what you've given me. Lord, I thank you for your provision. When we hear these scriptures, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. According to whose riches? But you've got to be in covenant with him. You've got to believe it. You've got to believe that he wants to bless you. You got to believe that he wants to pour his kindness on you, that he wants to use you to be kind to others. I'm telling you, through this new covenant, he wants to bless you. The question is, do you truly want to be blessed? Are you willing to receive from the Lord? Are you willing to be a giver, a conduit to give to others? He absolutely, through the new covenant, wants to bless his children. It said in the old covenant, he says, I'm the one that gives you the power to create wealth. That hasn't changed. He is the one that gives you power to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about being a giver. He says, as you give, he's the one that gives you seed and will continue to give you seed to continue to sow, to continue to give. He wants to bless the work of your hands. He wants to bless your retirement. He wants to give you wisdom with your finances. I say he wants to give you wisdom with your finances. People will hear things that are wrong regarding finances, so they'll throw it all out. I get it. There's lots of improper teaching on finances. But let me know, I'm telling you, he wants to bless you. We'll say, nope, that's not how it works. Then we'll go out and bust our rear end to be blessed. You go ahead. I'll bust my rear end. I don't mind that, but he's going to bless the work of my hands. I said, he's going to bless the work of my hands. Provision for his provision of wealth in this new covenant. How about health and healing? That can be tough. We've had a lot of people sick. But I will continue to pray for God's healing. I will continue to pray for God's health. I will continue that he give me a good mind in Jesus' name, that he will heal my body and keep it strong in Jesus' name. The provisions of the covenant, I will still stand upon those. I've seen too many people be healed. I've seen too many people come out of sicknesses and say, that didn't take me out, I'm still here. And I'm going to be healthy as ever, maybe healthier. Health and healing, by his stripes, I'm healed. Isaiah 53 saying he was wounded. It talked about the promises are that when God was talking to David, it says, I'll raise up a king and when he does wrong, I will beat him with rods and with a whip, which was just a representation of what Jesus would do for you and I. Do you believe in his health and his healing? I encourage you to believe in it. I encourage you to continue to pray for people's well-being. I encourage you to pray for people's health in Jesus' name. We're talking about the promises of God that belong to you and I because of covenant. Are you in covenant with Him? Salvation for your family. Hallelujah. I'm telling you this morning, as we begin to pray during time of prayer, God spoke by His Holy Spirit that He's bringing them in. I said that earlier. He's bringing them in. Do you agree with me? Do you agree in those promises? As in the book of Acts, it says, you and your household shall be saved. So standing upon the covenant, saying, Lord, this is your word. I'm in covenant with you because I walk by faith. And Father, I thank you for keeping my family safe, my children safe in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for saving those that are wandered away from you. I thank you that the hound of heaven won't let go of them. I thank you the Holy Spirit speaking to them in the night, speaking to them during the day. They may not tell you, but at some point they're going to crack. And God knows how to do that, however time period, and they open up to the gospel. He is doing that now. He's not waiting to do it. I'm telling you, He's doing it now. I've seen it in many people's lives. Salvation for our family. And number six, what does this covenant mean? Once and for all, He has cleansed us from all our sin and all our unrighteousness. I'm going to tell you that the new covenant that we walk in says, Lord, I've been washed of my sins. How powerful was the blood of Jesus Christ? How powerful is this new covenant that by faith, it sounds crazy, the natural mind. If you believe that a man died for your sins 2,000 years ago, that you're going to have your sins washed away, that you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that He's going to provide for your needs, that He's going to heal you, that He's going to provide, He's going to bring your children back to Him. And then we say, yeah, I believe that. That's exactly what I believe. And He loves you, and you can believe that too. You see, to each man has been given a measure of faith. Did you say it says not to a select few? To each individual has been given a measure of faith. But people will harden their hearts, and it can't come forward. Father, we thank you for softening hearts. As you pray for your family, thank you for softening hearts. As you pray for any relationship that's strained, Father, thank you for soft hearts as that measure of faith can come up. Faith in you is as real as you and I standing here today. Faith is not some fairy dust. It was given to you at birth, to each man, because He created us with that measure of faith. So, Father, we thank you for the measure of faith that you've given us coming forth. It's strong. Our faith having feet. Our faith believing in the covenant. Let me ask you today, are you in covenant with Him? Do you believe in the provisions of His covenant? Do you dare to believe all the provisions of His covenant as God promised to David that there will never lack a king that will be on your throne? Well, it seems like it's not that way in the natural, but in the supernatural, that is exactly what has happened. There is a king on the throne of David, and His name is Jesus the Christ. He sits at the right hand of Father, making intercession for you and I. As the worship team, if there's any of them here. Thank you, Lori. I looked around, starting to sweat bullets. Then my worship team left me. No, they're preparing for the for the feast. You know, I think of those in the Bible real quick who saw this covenant and saw this heir of David when nobody else did. I'm just saying the acts of Jesus. It's not the scripture we have up here, but Jesus is approaching Jericho. A man who was blind was sitting by the road begging. But when he heard a crowd going by, he began. This is in Luke 18, by the way, 35. They told him he was begging by the roadside. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out saying, Jesus, Son of David. He knew who he was when many didn't. I said, he knew who he was when many didn't. He couldn't see with his eyes. But for him to be saying, Jesus, Son of David, at that time would have offended many. It would have offended many that were even following him for the miracles, that were following him as a prophet. But when he was saying, Jesus, Son of David, he was saying, you are he who is to come. You're the one who's going to sit on David's throne. David came from watching sheep, amen? Jesus was born in a manger with sheep. Came from just the same background as David. David came from obscure background where his brothers and so forth looked down on him to be king of Israel. Then he who was born in a manger became the king that would sit on David's throne forever. Saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way. They were leading the throng that Jesus was in. Listen to this. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. Sternly telling him to be quiet. Maybe those who were leading the way in Jesus' ministry were there for the wrong reasons. Tell him, be quiet. You're making it seem. We've got somewhere to go. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more. Son of David, it says, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus knew, but he asked him. And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, regain your sight. Your faith has made you well. Did you know that has not changed? What makes you well is your faith. Your faith in this covenant has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight. I love the other one real quick. Matthew 15. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the region of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out. You hear it? Cry out. Saying, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Even a Canaanite woman knew who he was. He who was promised from the time of David. I don't know who this man is, but I know enough this that I see that he's the Son of David. He's the Messiah. He's the one who's going to sit on David's throne forever. But he did not answer her with even a word. And his disciples came up and urged Jesus, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting at us. Jesus, Son of David, over and over and over and over again. To the point Jesus is not even responding to her, but there's a reason. There's a reason. And finally, even his own disciple says, man, can you tell her to be quiet? But Jesus answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But this Canaanite woman said, but she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. Yet he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, but please help, for even the dogs feed on the crumbs that fall from the table. And he said, for such a reply, your daughter's healed. But Jesus, he waited, and he asked her. She asked him, what do you want? Let me tell you, this under this covenant, we need to start asking. We just walk day to day, and we've got these covenants and rights. We need to have a mouth like these people and shouting out, Jesus, Son of David, thank you for answering my prayers. Jesus, Son of David, thank you for this covenant I walk in. Thank you for touching my family. Thank you for touching those needs in my life. I'm walking in covenant with you. I believe that you are he who is to sit on David's throne forever. Father, the people in this nation would see that the answer is Jesus Christ, who is sitting on the throne in heaven, who can make things right. Only he can bring peace into this nation. Jesus, we thank you for revealing yourself in this day, in this hour. We believe you are he who will sit on David's throne forever. Father, can you stand up with me? Father, we thank you for your new covenant and the promises of God that are yes and amen. Father, we thank you for revealing your truth to us. Father, we thank you for strengthening us, Father. May we not forget the benefits of you, Father God. May we stand firm on those. We may not see it right now. You're working, but my spirit man says it's the answer's coming. The answer's coming. The answer's here. But I'm going to trust him who is standing in covenant with me, because you are on your throne forever. There shall never be another king of David that will be on the throne in Israel. No, it only will be Jesus. As that star of David, as he reveals to his people, that star represents Jesus. Amen. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for the promises. Just take a second real quick and just say, Lord, thank you for your promises. Father, thank you for the promises of God that are yes and amen. Father, thank you that by faith I walk in covenant with you. Father, I thank you those things that I struggle with are only going to be dealt with through my just looking to you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, who for the joy set before him despised the pain and the shame of those of that beating, of that cross hanging on the cross naked, so that you and I could walk in covenant with him today. Father, we thank you this week as you speak to our hearts. Lord, I ask that you would begin to speak what covenant means, the new covenant promises. Lord, that you begin to reveal your promises to us. You know, when we have struggles, it's just human nature. We start looking within ourselves for the answer. What do I need to do here? Who do I need to talk to? How is this going to work out? What do I need to do? What do I not need to do? Father, may we start looking directly to you, the covenant keeper, and say, Lord, give me wisdom in this situation. Lord Jesus, give me provision in this situation. Father, for those who are in business, give me wisdom in the direction in today's atmosphere. My gosh, you need God's wisdom to if you're in a job or a business, what do you do? What's going to happen next? He knows what's going to happen next. And he is our provider. He's the one that I'm walking in covenant with. I'm not walking in covenant with the world. I'm walking in covenant with him. So, Father, we just bless you. We honor you today. If you need prayer, I'm going to stay up here. My wife's not here, but if you need prayer, if you can come up here, we'd be glad to pray with you. If you're not sure if you're walking in covenant with the Lord today, you know, it's as easy as saying, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you. You know what? If we make it any harder than that, we're already getting off the wrong foot. The right foot is, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you. And then he will begin to reveal himself to you. Father, we thank you for your covenant. We thank you for your love. We bless you and honor you today. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I said, Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.